have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
First, I need that
national Welcome on back, everyone, to the boardroom. Very interesting week in Illini sports. We had a couple of disappointments on Sunday and Saturday, losing to Rutgers and Penn State. But boys, we got a new head football coach. It's pronounced Bielema.
Bielema.
Bielema. All right, good start.
We're 3 for 3 to start. Arkansas fans can't say the same.
Yeah, I mean, it was a weird weekend. We'll definitely remember it for kind of being a disappointment. And I don't know about you guys, kind of mixed feelings about the hire at first initially. Now, sitting on it for like 48 hours, kind of bought in completely. And obviously, Josh Whitman knows what he's doing. So we kind of have somewhat of a Big Ten football team now.
We have a Big Ten football coach, I would say. I don't know if we have the football team. Yesterday's football game didn't make it seem like we have a football team, but hopefully the system changes and we have a football coach who can get these guys into shape.
There were definitely some people who flipped their Bielema Twitter takes on a dime. Like, they didn't want him, then we hired him, they wanted him. So I'm gonna, we should have said this with Lovey, we're gonna find your takes in 5 years. We will not forget where you stand, so.
I mean, as a Lance Leipold stan, it was definitely hard.
There was like four of those Twitter accounts.
Yeah. I think I know where the Lance Leipold stan account stands on this one.
It was definitely a tough thing to wake up to, too. Like, you don't typically see a 9 a.m. news dump like that, and then all of a sudden we've got Bielema on the side of the road on College game day. That was weird, and your brain is just kind of spinning, but I guess we now have, once again, just like a credible Big Ten coach.
Yeah, I would say the first thing that when I heard the news when I woke up, I was like, damn, this is not what I was expecting. And I think all week I was trying to just not think it was a possibility, but we're here. I'm excited now. I think everyone's just waiting to hear who the staff names are. There's been some pretty solid rumors of who our online coach would be. We're excited about the 3-4 defense. I don't know, Sam, you have a take about the rumored defensive coordinator that's going to join in.
Paul Rhodes. I just have 70-7, that Arizona scoreline stuck in my head. But again, did not take over a good defense at Arizona, so clean slate.
This is just like a very classic Illinois fan feeling of a weekend, though, because all weekend I'm thinking, okay, this is kind of our time to bounce back for basketball. And like, okay, we're going to have a top 20 win on the road and we can lean into basketball. And instead, here we are talking about a new football head coach because we have basketball disappointment. It's like this constant struggle, like during the Lovie Smith era often and some parts of the Brad Underwood era. It's like when things are not going well for one program, we switch it over, we lose bragging rights, but hey, we're playing in a bowl game last year. Or hey, Brad Underwood's recruiting isn't going well, but we just signed Shimon Cooper. For some reason, we can't find a balance of just being happy for both teams at both times. And even Saturday, we get the football announcement, and we're like, okay. Then we play Penn State. We're up 21-14. And then the Illinois kicks in, and we give a 42 unanswered again for the second time in 3 years against Penn State. So it's just like a weird snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap feeling of anytime you're feeling good about your team for Illinois, they're going to find a way to bring us back to water.
And as someone who is going to get very, very into the recruiting that Brett does in his first year, anytime, like what you just said, it's not going to change. Like, I'm pretty much, if there's going to be a bad loss in February to a team, I'm going to be like, flip my focus to how we're recruiting compared to others for the 2022 class for football. So it's never going to change. That's just like the classic Illinois feeling.
He drove from East Rutherford to Happy Valley, so we know, one, he can drive, two, he has a car, so he's got to cover the state, no excuses. But yeah, I was curious if we would have made a bowl if we beat Penn State, but then we let up 42 straight. The recruiting, I think, is like the only football short-term thing that's going to give us a jolt, because as I reminded everyone yesterday, it's still going to be another 8 months before we actually get to see Bielema's first Illinois game.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he kind of attacks the portal or if he just tries to go young, clean things up like Lovie did originally.
I have an opinion. I don't think we need to expect the tear everything down. And I think we as fans and then kind of pass it along to people in media should like hope for a tear down rebuild type of thing, because that's not going to work in 3 years. In 3 years, what, we're in 2024, like, I don't want to be 4-8.
Are you messaging to our boss, Robert Rosenthal, right now about a full scale rebuild? But I think this year's providing its own sort of opportunities with the COVID rule, and that might like have guys who might have graduated and kind of plug holes that you might have had, especially like our offensive line. Like, okay, we get another year of Palcho, maybe Verdarian Lowe sticks around for another year. Like, that's a big thing, is like, how do we really solidify our line play? Because that's what Bielema seems to really be like a proponent of.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be like his success is going to, like, we're going to know it pretty soon, because we're going to see how he does in the transfer portal. And I don't like, the recruiting does matter, but it's like how the first season is going to go. Because if you start off at a bad foot and you're already like at a point where people are skeptical of you, then I don't know if like the momentum is going to carry into a year or two.
But the good thing is, we did see the phone call of him talking to the IHFCA's president or whatever. So Illinois football coaches, we're back. Darren Sunkett from East St. Louis, I swear to God. That guy lives on Twitter, man.
All right, we're going to clip this. But public service announcement to any person tweeting at a recruit, a coach of a recruit, or even a player on the current team.
Or parent.
Please stop. Like, there's no point. You're doing nothing. You're doing nothing but make things worse. Like, you never tweet at them when there's positive news, so why are you tweeting them at negative news? It only makes things worse. You're digging a hole for the Illinois program. Good fan you are, digging a hole in the program. Like, stop. All right, I'm done there.
We were going to lose some guys, and then Joe from Muhammad said, 5 out of 5 would recommend the 3-4 Bielema defense.
Yeah, but in terms of losing guys, at least on the current team, it sounds like guys are pretty encouraged by Bielema.
Is that based off of one rival's tweet?
Yes, I'm reading way too much into it. But hopefully a lot of guys stick around. And it does seem like Bielema has a certain kind of energy where you kind of hate him if he's on the other team, but you like him on yours. So hopefully the guys buy into that and say, like, yeah, this dude might sound a little bit like a shithead, but at least he's our shithead sort of thing.
Yeah, he was a shithead 2 years ago. Now he has two kids that are within two years or younger. So hopefully he's more mature and he's ready to attack it at Illinois.
I mean, you're still a shithead to me if you have an Iowa Hawkeye tattoo on your body. So if you get that lasered out, then we're good. Then you're a mature man.
This is a good transition. Do you think any reporter is going to ask on tomorrow's press conference today, I don't know when this is getting released, about his Hawkeye tattoo? Like, what's the point of that question? That's obviously going to come.
Like, there's really not much to the question. Although I do remember a reporter asking Rod Smith, in his one game as an interim head coach, how people think Isaiah Williams would do in the Bielema offense. Like, what?
The Bielema offense is not even defined yet because we don't have an offensive coordinator and Bielema is a defensive coach.
And like, Rod Smith is one game left as an interim coach. Why are you talking to this guy? You're probably never going to talk to him again because he's going to get some job in some Rich Rod offense in the West Coast, and we're never going to see Rod Smith again, and that's your final question? Like, come on, do better.
So we now welcome on Tyler Griffey. You know him as the man who hit the biggest shot in the last decade and a half of Illinois basketball. So thank you so much for joining us, Tyler. First off, can you just kind of give an update to the fans on what you've been up to nowadays? How closely do you follow the team at all?
Sure. So first off, thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. I'm still here in St. Louis, right now working for a company called Worldwide Technology. We're headquartered here, and I'm doing some consulting, some business development, some sales, / hybrid role there, for them. And I've been there for 5 years. Recently, though, my fiance and I have decided to move to Flagstaff, Arizona.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And she is pursuing a professional running career So joining a club out there, she's actually the best, the better athlete of the two of us, if you can believe it.
We literally have a question written down saying, what's it like being the second most athletic person in your relationship?
It is. No, it's awesome. So right now we're actually apart. She's down there training hard for a marathon coming up in a week from today, actually down in Phoenix, where she is training pretty hard with her team, Hoka Naz Elite. Yeah, I mean, things are good. Like I said, I'm home for the holidays right now, but we're moving here right after New Year's Eve, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, Johnny and I could probably talk about or with your fiance all day. We're ex-runners, I guess you could say, high school runners. So we're super interested in that stuff. I saw it was like her first marathon and she qualified for the Olympic trials in her first try. Is that correct?
Pretty much. Yeah. I don't know if it exactly went like that. I know she qualified for the trials in Chicago, and that was like right around the time that her and I had started dating. So like a couple of months prior, we had just met. But when she was doing it then, she had a full-time job here in St. Louis, and was kind of just training on the side in the morning. She had found a team here, and was kind of just doing everything for free. And ended up, yeah, qualifying for the trials. And then, back in February, placing 10th in those trials. And then since then she's gotten a bunch of clubs reaching out to her. And that's why we kind of got this opportunity. And I'm working for a company that lets me work from remote. So like, I am like set up and good to go, from home during all this, when all this pandemic stuff went on. So it was nothing for us to just kind of say, sure, let's go for it. And she's pursuing that. She's really thrilled to be doing that and, putting a lot of, effort into her training now.
Yeah, that's so amazing. And for people who don't realize, that's basically like you're the 10th fastest American in the marathon. Like that is a huge, huge, huge deal. I think like the top two qualify for the Olympics. So just to be in those trials is like a huge deal, but to finish top 10 is
and
remarkable.
For someone who didn't even run in college, right? Wasn't she a soccer player?
She was a soccer player, yes.
Amazing.
At Southern Indiana.
All right, so we're going to transition now into more about Illinois basketball. Did you say you still follow the team closely or...
You know, I do. Not probably as close as probably I should, but definitely catch the scores and the highlights throughout social media and whatnot during the season. Definitely paid close attention to last night's game. Right before the game, I was with a bunch of Mizzou guys watching the Anthony Joshua fight, actually. But was able to, I had to separate myself from them to go watch the game. And unfortunate with the outcome, though, but I thought the boys played hard. I think Mizzou is really underrated. They're scrappy. I hate it. I hate to admit it, but they're a really, really good team. They play well together. I mean, it was fun last night watching them. Always the bragging rights was always the most exciting game, or the one I circled on the calendar for myself. So it was all good.
Yeah, so last night we saw a couple different contributions from big men because Georgie got into foul trouble pretty early. What do you see in like a guy like Coleman Hawkins? He's a freshman right now, not getting that much tick just like you did your freshman year. But what do you kind of see and what's kind of like the thought process of someone like that going for the next 4 years of their hopefully Illini career?
I mean, you're playing behind some of the guys that are, you know, runners up, you know, are in the running for Big Ten Player of the Year, right? So... I think you just look at it just to get better every day, working at practice, learning behind them, battling with them each and every day, man, that's going to get you stronger. It's going to get you better. I think the guys were letting them play last night, at least in the second half. It's a physical game, man. So Kofi is doing so well and uses his body so well. I know that one drop step that he had to a dunk. I mean, it was picture perfect. It got his foot right around the defender. Just what an opportunity to be able to go up against those caliber guys each and every day.
So you, going back to bragging rights, you grew up in Missouri. You said you're in St. Louis now. How big is bragging rights to you? Like, is there a bigger game on the calendar each year as a player and now as an alum?
I mean, no, it's always one that I'm the most excited about, right? Especially with it being in St. Louis. I think it's crazy that did Mizzou win a coin flip? So that's how they got it, the home court advantage for that. That's super interesting, but you know, whatever. I always look forward to it. Obviously a lot of my friends went to Mizzou. A lot of my colleagues at work go to Mizzou. Right. So it's always good when we're on the right side of that game on that outcome. But, like I said, I'm proud of the boys and how they fought last night. They looked really, really good.
Yeah, they did fight pretty hard. And like, what made you decide, okay, I'm from the St. Louis, Missouri area. What made you want to come to Illinois?
You know, it really came down to Mizzou and Illinois. That's kind of why it's such a big deal. I mean, the announcers talked about it quite a bit with all the guys that kind of have connections to both schools. That's just what makes this rivalry, this game so special. I thought Illinois was the better fit than Mizzou at the time. Respected both coaches, Mike Anderson and that program, but visited Mizzou quite a bit. But just felt that that with Weber and the Illinois program was a better fit for me and my style.
Totally, yeah. So, like, talking about your early Illini career, you were on just such a loaded roster. That 2011 team, like, the backups on that team, Jeremy Richmond, Myers Leonard, Joe Bertrand, like, all kind of athletic freaks in their own way. What were those practices like?
They were crazy, man. It was definitely – that sophomore year was really, really cool to be a part of. We had a lot of battles. We had a lot of personalities on the team. And those practices could get a little rough, a little scrappy. But that's what made it fun, man.
And who would you say you matched up with one on one a lot? Was it Mike Davis or was it
Mike Davis, Bill Cole? You remember Jeremy Myers? I mean, Tisdale was on those teams too. So. I mean, I think that year we were the biggest team or the tallest team in the country as well. If I remember that correctly, I don't know if that's a stat or not.
They keep those stats. But, yeah,
we were huge though, right? So, I mean, we had both Myers, Tisdale. And I think I like to brag that I was on the lower end of that average. I think the average was 6'9" and I'm only 6'8". So, yeah, man, that's all I remember. Just those practices were so rough. But that team was so scrappy.
And did you realize, like, hey, we have this guy, Myers Leonard, who's playing like 7 minutes a game, who's a year away from being a lottery pick? Like, did that make it all sense to you at the time?
I mean, you don't really realize it at the time, right? But obviously, hats off to him. I mean, I used to never really be that big of an NBA fan, but like the last couple of years, I've been watching more and more. Definitely following him and his success and watching him in the finals this past year was so cool. We exchange email or message on social media every now and then, just wishing him congrats and whatnot. But super happy for him and how he's playing and his situation and success in the NBA.
Yeah, he's like jacked. If you look at the pictures of him now, compared
the hammer.
To like, yeah, like a freshman. He's really filled out his body.
Yeah, and his trainer, Ben Bruno, like, I've followed him, like, for so long before he started working with Myers. And once I started, hooking up, that's one of the reasons why I reached out to him, just to ask him and pick Bren's brain and stuff. I love seeing those videos. He's super, super impressive in the weight room.
Yeah, he is. Awesome. It is really impressive. So in 2012, Illinois, transitioned from Weber to Gross. What was that like for you and just for your teammates going through a coaching change?
It was just a chance for a fresh start, right? I know that was our senior year, that senior class, me, Brandon, and DJ. We just wanted to go out, you know, and leave some sort of legacy or leave out on a high note. And I think we're able to accomplish that. And that was one of the things that Gross really let us buy in. You know, we really worked together and kind of bought into his identity, his defense, his philosophies. And they were very easy to do so, you know, and kudos to them and that coaching staff. I think it was just us seniors wanting to go out on a high note and play hard. And I think we did that.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you sort of compare and contrast their coaching styles? Did you have a preference in sort of how one operated over another at all?
No, not really. I loved playing for Weber. I loved playing for Gross. I think they had two different philosophies. Weber was very motion offense, you know, wanted to do it his way and keep the ball moving around. I think Gross took a very more analytical way and approach about his play styles and his play calling. And I think that resonated with all of us as players as well.
For sure.
All right, so let's. As Maddie introduced this podcast, you are known as the biggest shot in the last 14 years on campus at Illinois. So do you want to walk us through that Indiana game? What was the pregame hype before playing the number one team in the country?
Man, that was so long ago. How many years was that? Is that 20, seven now?
7 years, yeah.
February would be seven or eight. Yeah, September would be eight. So what was the question?
You want to walk us through the game or like what the pregame hype was before playing the number one team in the country?
Man, you know, it's hard to even remember what it felt like, to be honest. Obviously it's the number one team in the country. So, you know, you're coming ready to play. You're playing at home, right? ESPN, national TV. It's all there. For me, if you don't remember, I think I was 0 for 24 or something from three, right, coming into that. So I was going through a rough stretch there, right? So for me to just get out there, get on the home floor and just have a chance and just let it fly and just go out there and play and see that first couple of shots hit down, really settled me down and really came into my own. And you know, without DJ hitting those big shots, without Brandon coming up, you know, I think that's what makes it so special, is it was such a team effort. Everybody got to, you know, had their moment, during that game and during the final stretch where they're making big plays. Yeah, it's always special to remember looking back on those types of moments.
Yeah, and like coming out of that like huddle after going into the final play of the game, did you know ball's coming to me? Just make a layup, one layup. I've made these a billion times over my basketball career. It's just one layup.
Way to hype it up.
I mean, yeah, like I didn't know the ball's coming to me. You know, we just made a play. It's a play that we've drawn up and we've ran 100 times that year, right? And they've run it 100 times since. I've seen Gross teams and I've seen Butler teams run that same play, 100 times since. So, Brandon just was fortunate enough to be able to hang on the ball for that 3 or 4 second count to let the play develop. And, you know, that's why I said, if DJ hadn't hit those crazy shots, that crazy step back to get us to that point, maybe both of those defenders don't go his way and one sticks with me, right? Like I said, that's what I think makes it so special. It was such a team effort. Especially with all seniors getting involved.
And then the court gets rushed. What is that like to be an athlete, to be a player when the court gets stormed? Is it overwhelming? Is it exciting? Are you trying to find your teammates? Are you just trying to get out of there?
I just remember it was so chaotic. Like it was just, you know, just huge smile on your face, right? Like I think Ravonte Rice tackled me. That's why I went down. I remember going down and like trying not to get stepped on. I do remember I went to the class, I guess, a couple of days later. And watch the video, one of the pictures, there's a very distinction. There's a guy that gets to me first and he had like introduced himself as that guy in like my psychology class later that day. So I thought that was really funny. But I remember my dad and one of my, mentors and coaches, from when I was younger, we're both at the game. They both had decided that they didn't want to go to. They decided to come at the last minute. So I remember him, us three going out to like fire station and afterwards. It was just such a crazy night, crazy experience. Fun time to look back on.
So you, after dinner, did you like go to Cams or Lion or anything? Was there any like post-game celebration with the teammates?
I don't even remember, man.
So yes, if you don't remember anything.
So yes, yeah, there's your answer.
So they say, like, after a big moment like that, they say, you know, you'll never pay for a drink again on campus. Have you paid for a drink since then at UVI?
Sure I have, but I would say that still holds true.
We're gonna need to know which bar that was.
Say what?
I said, we're going to need to know which bar that was. We'll take care of that.
Have to hold them accountable.
Well, I will say that I did visit the new Cams. I want to say sometime in September, I guess, with a couple of buddies of mine. And they did take care of me for the first round. Don't know who they were. I don't even know if they obviously somebody recognized me, but, shout out to the guy at the door in the new Cams. Cool. It looks nice in there too.
Yeah, it was nice. We visited in March of last year. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we didn't have our drinks paid for, but hopefully next year, though. Don't know who we are.
Well, I guess going back to, so after the Indiana game, you guys rattle off 4 straight wins. Was that like a momentum thing? Was that an X's and O's thing kind of clicking? Like what kind of goes into we're turning our season around and ultimately going to make the tournament?
I mean, you could say it was all the above. It's hard to go back, you know, look back on it 8 years later to say exactly what was our mindset. But obviously beating number one team in the country and being at home. If you remember that we had, we went up to Minnesota right after that and played really, really well there. So yeah, I mean, I think it was all feeding off the momentum. It was us clicking at the right time too, right down the stretch. And that kind of just set us on a path for not only the Big Ten tournament, but the NCAA tournament as well.
Let's talk about that NCAA tournament for a second.
Yeah. I mean, you win that first round game against Colorado, and then we all know the Miami game. So, I mean, 2 minutes left, that call, they say it's off of Brandon Paul. I mean, that was bullshit, right?
He's sipping his coffee.
Getting ready.
Yeah, I guess. I guess they changed the rule for it, right? Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I guess that's a, you know, admittance of guilt in itself.
Well, and I don't want to bring up the tough emotional feelings, but what is a locker room like after a game like that where you're just not expecting it to end there and it just ends in such a heartbreaking fashion?
I mean, you know, it's tough always, but, you know, that was this – that's kind of, I look back on that as a fond memory as well, because I mean, that was my last part of really being a part of a team. I know I went and played for a couple of years after that, but you know, you invest so much time and sweat and tears with your seniors, with your team, all the things that we have gone through during our careers, just in and of that, like, yeah, we weren't happy or thrilled to end it right there, but I'm, you know, looking back on it, I'm okay with the career that we had and how we performed and losing to that Miami team. There's no shame in that. Those guys were good.
Sure, absolutely. How many times have you rewatched the Toughness and Togetherness documentary on YouTube?
Maybe once, I think. I went back and like skimmed through them a couple of times. I have them on my computer somewhere.
They're pretty good.
You know, quality is not bad. 7 years later, they've kept up with it. You're right.
There's some good like gross quotes in there. There's some good like behind the scenes locker room stuff. There's some good practice stuff. Some good game stuff. It's a nice little kind of hype you up before the season, or if you want to check it out, you know, some older teams. It's sure. Pretty good quality. It's pretty good content.
It is. I've always wondered what it would have been like if you were playing with, if, you know, if more Instagram and all this social media was more popular back then, you know, it was all there, but you know, not to the extent of what it is today.
So after you graduated, did you feel offended when John Ikey came in and basically just replaced you?
I don't know. But that was just a carbon copy. This kid from Illinois State, stretch four. You even look at your stats, like points, rebounds, assists. It's all separated by like 1 point. The percentages. It was weird.
No, man. I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. He was a good player.
Sure.
All right. Going into your senior year of high school, you played on a USA team. USA team at Adidas Nationals, and Lance Stevenson was on your team. Did he ever show signs that he was going to like blow in LeBron's ear during your time with him?
Yes. Dude's crazy. Dude
is nuts. What was a crazy story from that team then?
I don't know if I have anything specific. I just remember him being, that's not surprising at all.
You're just like, yep, that's the guy that I met.
Dude is crazy.
there were some other big guys on that USA team though, at Adidas Nations, right? Like I think I saw Eric Murphy or maybe a few other guys were on
Derek
that too.
Derek Favors.
Eric Murphy from Florida, Derek Favors. I might be going a couple of, I mean, Travis Relaford was on the older team. BJ Mullins was on the older team. So Ohio State, Kansas. Who else? There was a lot of guys. Brendan Lane, I remember. Reeves Nelson. It was a really good squad.
I feel like everyone at their high school, when they're a big recruit to them, like they're the best player usually in every game. Was it kind of weird for you being at an event like that where you kind of saw some of the other national talent and realized like how many good guys are out there?
I mean, yeah, like it was fun for me to be a part of, right? Just to play with those types of guys. that program was so cool too, because they would take us, they would fly us and say it's like 6 weekends out of the year, or out of the spring and summer, they would fly us to a different city across the country. We would all come in, both teams, like we were coached by Paul Silas, that have a couple NBA guys come in with us. And we'd spend Friday night, we'd scrimmage, practice. Saturday, we'd go out to eat. Saturday, we wake up, we do like individual workouts with different coaches and NBA players, or go watch them work out, go do a fun activity. Saturday night, we'd be scrimmaging. Sunday morning, we'd scrimmage again. So like, it was just, you know, it was, I remember going into that senior year, that summer, I'd already committed. So I kind of told the coaching staff, the Weber staff, that I was just going to concentrate on building my body, lifting, working out here in St. Louis. I had a trainer at the time. And then going to do these Adidas workouts instead of just killing my body, going to play AAU tournaments. I only think I played 3 or 4 tournaments that summer with my AAU team that I'd been a part of since like the 7th grade. So I kind of just chose a little different route, and I think it made me a better player for it because of it.
Yeah, and like Sam kind of mentioned, I mean, you were just looking at, you led your high school all-time scorer, rebounder. What was that like, kind of like embracing the role of being a role player? Because that's something that really helped our team, and maybe our current team could even use, is just like a couple guys who we know they're going to play 20 minutes, 7 points, couple of threes, like that's what we need. So what was that like mentally for you, just embracing the role of being a role player?
It's just winning is more important, just kind of losing yourself to the team. That might be a gross quote right there.
I love it.
Just winning is more important, just taking that mindset. Last night Trent Frazier, his role has he turned into a big scorer. And has now been, you know, embraced the more of the defensive, the different defensive effort, and Illinois is a better team for it because of it. Right. So, I kind of eased into it as well. Having that freshman and sophomore year, just going in and knowing I was, you know, playing behind Mike Davis, you know, being able to learn from him, Dominique Keller, you know, Rich Summer, all those guys, my freshman and sophomore years. So I don't think the transition was too hard. But like I said, I was just willing to do what it takes and prove myself in practice to get a chance.
And who would you say you're maybe closest with on that team, or just any former Illini teammates?
I don't really talk to a lot of the guys here now on social media every now and then, just seeing how they're doing, follow them all, and, you know, DJ and Brandon, if they're playing and whatnot, but no real communication between both of, you know, between any of us.
Sure. So wrapping up, just talking about the current team here a little bit, just overall thoughts on the team that we got going on right now. What do they need to do to make the Final Four, to make the tournament even?
I really like watching them. They're fun to watch. They play well together. They've got some exciting players in Io and Kofi, and they're really good. I just think Mizzou was really underrated last night. Going into it, they were scrappy. They played hard. Unfortunately, it was such a choppy game last night that it wasn't too fun to watch. But again, I've seen them play 3 or 4 times this year already, and they're looking good. So just kind of continue to do that. I think Underwear is going to lead them in the right direction.
I'm cool with that. Yeah. Hey, I agree. Awesome. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your day here to talk with us, Tyler. That's all we got for you. We really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Right. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tyler.
Appreciate having me on.
All right. Take care. Thank you, everyone, for listening to that episode of The Boardroom. We will talk to you next time. ILL.